the example of love. And I thank you that we have a loving church here, but it's because of the love of Jesus Christ. And I know the greatest need that we have today is a need to be loved and also be able to love someone else and to show our love. And Jesus Christ gives us this great example of love, how that he had loved us. And he gave this example to his disciples when he washed their feet. He began to really show them and to demonstrate what it really means to wash someone's feet. So I pray today that you might glean from the Word of God and to understand the symbolism in washing feet, showing that we love one another and we certainly need love today. In John chapter 13 and verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus Christ knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. After supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he raised from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself." And verse 5 it says, "After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded." Thank you, Lord, for a blessing of the Word of God. We know that Jesus Christ said, "I come from God and I'm going from God." Did you know whenever you save, God comes to you and you're going to God? Every one of us today. It was a custom in that time to wash feet. We know that they wore sandals and there was dirt roads and their feet got dirty. When they come into a house, first thing they do, they'd have a servant to wash their feet. But at that time, there was no servant. But guess what? Jesus Christ says, "I'll be the servant." And he was able to wash their feet because he was willing to do that. Last Sunday, I taught on the blood covenant. The blood covenant before Easter is what it's all about. But this week, you know, or next week, we find out getting closer and closer to our great Passover, which we know we celebrate before Easter. Memorial, remember, the feast of the Passover whenever Jesus Christ was here. Jesus Christ, knowing, he said, his hour had come, it says in verse 1, his hour had come to be crucified, and Jesus Christ knew that, and Judas was the one going to betray him. In the same chapter, in verse 34 and verse 35, he says now to his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men may know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Let us inventory our life this morning and see, really, by the example of Jesus Christ, do you really have that love that Jesus Christ was talking about? And it's a snapshot of the selfless love. A lot of time we ask one another, "How you doing?" As well, "I don't know. I hadn't been to the doctor today." Well, you're going to the doctor this morning, and it's Dr. Jesus, and he's going to examine you and see if you have this type of love that he's talking about, because he was a great example of love, and we to follow in his footsteps. And do you have this? But we, most of the time, as human beings, we're so preoccupied with self. It's all about me most of the time, and not about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about me and the material things that I may get and gain in this life, which one way I'll turn all loose. It's about the pleasure of this mad world that we have today and not about love. You see, our church will be full this morning of people loved as they should love. We have a lot of people that saved that's not with us today as members of this church here, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. It's because of love in their heart. If you love, you're going to serve. If you serve, you're going to love. So we just appreciate Jesus Christ in showing this. But most of society today is based on me and not the love of Jesus Christ. In verse 3 and 4, as I've already read, but I read it again, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand, and he has come from God, and he would know that he was going back to God. And he raised from that supper, after that supper of the Passover, laid aside his garments and took the towel and girded himself. Actually and literally and physically, you see, but also it was symbolic of what washing of feet really means to us. He stepped out of glory and laid aside his garments of glory and put on the humanity of mankind and became a servant, even the servant of his disciples this day. Philippians 2, 5 and 9, it also says, as we look at this, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and give him a name which is above all name. Jesus Christ, coexistence and co-eternal and coexistent would be with God, and he is God himself. He stepped out of glory and humbled himself, as we understand that we should. It says that verse 9, wherefore God has highly exalted him and give him a name which is above every name. You know, we fight for our reputation. Jesus Christ laid his reputation down. Luke 22 and 24 says, and there also strive among his disciples at that time, at that supper, which of them should be accounted for the greatest, disputing theirself among. Who here today is the greatest? Who's the greatest Christian here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church? Who's the closest to God here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church? That's what his disciple would say. But Jesus Christ showed them the greatness was in serving. The greatness was in serving. Disciples one to another, I'm better than you are, Peter. I don't talk out of turn. I'm better than you. Jesus Christ showed them by example which one was better, the one that served. You see, he says the old pagans does this. You know, you ought to be different than the world. You're my followers. The pagans does the same thing that you're doing. You see, the greatness of act of humility is what he said. Washing his disciples' feet. Same verse, Jesus knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and he'd come from God and going back to God, knowing all things. He had all things given unto him. He had the power of heaven and earth. He owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. There was nothing impossible for Jesus Christ. He had all this. He laid it all aside to wash the disciples' old, smelly, dusty feet in humanity. Pleasant Hill, you saved. You know what? God has also given you all things. He's given you salvation. He's given you a place in heaven. He's given you his presence that will never leave you. He's given you the assurance of the Word of God. He's given you that faith you might depend on him. He's given you all things that you'll ever need in this life and the life to come. As Jesus Christ, it's time for us to lay down our reputation and become servants of God in humility in ourselves today. Selfless love, Romans 12 and 3 says, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What I am by the grace of God. Can you say that this morning? The grace of God. Grace is God accepting me. As you think about this, God accepting me, not because of my goodness, not because I have done something worthy of acceptance, but he accepts me as I am. He accepts you. That's grace. He accepts us because of who he is. God's grace accepts me. Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us acceptable in the beloved. Who made us acceptable? Not you and your good works. Not you and your behavior. Not you and your attitude. God has made us acceptable. To please understand that. More people would be saved if they understood that God makes them acceptable. Quit trying to be good and accept what God has done for you. Grace, God accepts me. Stop trying and start trusting what God has done. And then there's faith, my acceptance of God. I accept him by faith because he accepts me. You need to understand that this morning. Accept me. Could you understand that's the reason that I accept God? Because he accepted me and I believe what he done for me by grace. And therefore it's a fact. What he done for me to accept me. I got to understand it's not my feelings that God have accepted me. It's not that I live by my good behavior and if I do something bad I feel like God has not accepted me. He have accepted me because of grace. And my faith has turned to facts by the word of God that God has accepted me. And he has accepted you. You do not deserve what God is giving you. None of us. To understand that God have accepted me and I need to understand that I accept God's acceptance of me. And then when you do that, you have peace. When I understand these two, grace and faith, then I have peace that I may be able to accept you. Because God loves you and accepted you and you accept God. And therefore we can have peace and we can accept one another and start trusting what God has done for us. Have you ever accepted you? You know, some people will not accept that. That's the reason they're not saved. What is the reason that you're not saved this morning, if you're not saved? God loves you. God accepted you because of Jesus Christ. But you have not accepted that God has accepted you if you're not saved this morning. You still want to wait and try to figure it out or work. Try to be good enough and wait till the time comes when God will accept you. God accepted you before the foundation of the earth began. You're talking about old time religion. That was before you was born that God accepted you because he loved you. And we are still trying to struggle and make ourselves acceptable to God. Do you think coming to church this morning, if you lost, you think by coming to church this morning, that's going to cause God to accept you anymore? Not on your life. Coming to church don't cause God to accept you anymore. People don't understand that. I'll come to church and be accepted. He accepts you exactly like you are. Coming to church shows that we love God and we love each other. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells for a lost sinner to come to church. I'm glad that you're here this morning, and you know if you want a loaf of bread, you go down to where to sell bread at, so most people get saved in church, but it's not a demand for you to come, and if you're saved, God has demanded you to come to church because you have been bought with the price of his shed blood and the high price of his royal blood, and he commands your life to be his and to come. As a demand, if you come to church, you're obeying what Christ has set out for you to do. But if you're here this morning, you need to accept God's acceptance of you, that he loves you. You're supposed to love yourself. People say, well, you know, we love ourselves too much. He's not talking about loving our faults and love our own ego, but we love ourselves. Pleasant Hill, does God love you? Do you understand? Is anybody here that don't understand that God loves you right now? Yeah, but what I done, what I done, what I done, what I'm like. You say, I'm lost today. I've never accepted Jesus Christ. That don't change God's love from you. If you're lost, that don't change God's love for you because you're lost and undone. Did you understand this morning, everybody here, that God loves you right now? And do you know He loves me? And did you know it's all right to love what God loves? You know what I just said? You better love me. And I better love you. And we better love one another. Because it's all right to love what God loves. And He loves us all. And did you know there's nothing that you can do to cause Him to love you anymore? Oh, I know what I do. I come regular and I start giving. I start doing this and I start. No matter what you do in the service will not cause God to love you anymore. That's just obeying God's command. And that's just showing Him that you love Him even more. It's not going to cause Him to love you anymore. All the service that we do for the Lord, it just shows Him our love for Him. But His love is not going to change towards us. And did you know there's nothing that you can do to cause Him to love you any less? Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for that. Because probably, not just myself, but probably some of us wasn't all that lovable this past week. Probably some we done or didn't do, said or didn't say, we didn't behave as we should have behaved, but that did not stop God from loving us. Thank you, Lord, for that agape love that never changes. Now, if you don't love yourself, if you don't understand God's acceptance of you and you're accepting of God, and we accept one another, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love me. That's the reason that people don't come in fellowship in God's house at God's appointing time. If they don't love themselves and understand these principles, they're not going to love one another. God loves us. What we are, by the grace of God, born of God and going to God, and I know who I am. You need to know who you are this morning. I can show you love and never run out of love, because the more I love you, the more the love God gives me. And the more that we love each other in the Lord, and the more that we love people, the more love that God will give you. And it keeps going on and on and on. The more you love, the more God will give you love to go out to this lost and dying world. Because it flows through grace, through the Holy Spirit of the Word of God. And God gives us this love. There's a song that several people sing, this old song. Mama, I'm not the man I used to be. I found Jesus, and He changed my heart. Mama, can you say that this morning? Mama, I'm not the person I used to be. I found Jesus, and He changed my life. The snapshot of selfish love. There's a short snapshot of this stand-fast love that will never change. Same verse, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto His Father, having loved His own, those in the world, He loved them to the end. You see, His hour had come. Those that was with us on Wednesday night was a week ago. We talk about miracles on Wednesday night. If you need a miracle, you need to come on Wednesday night. We talked about miracles. Jesus Christ turning the water into wine. They had run out of wine. I mean, run out of water. They went to his mother. The mother went to Jesus. And you know what? He said to her, "Woman, my hour have not yet come." As I told you on that Wednesday night, all through the Gospel of John, Jesus began to say, "My hour have not yet come. My hour have not yet come. My hour have not yet come." Marching to the cross. And then we find this week. And then another time or two, he says, "My hour has come." This past week was two funerals. Their hour had come. Your hour has not yet come. But your hour will come. Are you going to God? There'll be one or two places when your hour comes. It might be today. It might be tonight. It might be a wreck. It might be a heart attack. Your hour will come. Jesus Christ said, "I come from the Father, and I'm going to the Father." The Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart, and it's going to carry you back, your soul and spirit, to God from which it came. The hour has not yet come. The clock is ticking. He's coming nearer to the crucifixion, the feast of the Passover. When it comes time for him to part out of this world. Having loved his own, he loved them until the end. You see, a lot of times we only love anybody till they quit loving us or quit doing good, and we'll quit loving them. He loved to the end. And I'm glad he didn't throw me aside every time that I fall and fail. But he loves me to the end. Old Peter cussed and swear, and old James and John, they was the greatest. Jesus Christ, you know what he done? He just kept right on loving them. Facing the cross of Calvary, he kept showing his love. You know, some people's not very lovable because they say, "You just don't know what I'm going through. I'm not lovable." People won't come and love brothers and sisters in the Lord. They claim they're having problems and this, that, and the other, and they're under pressure. Have there ever been more pressure than Jesus Christ walking towards the cross, and he loved his own? And he loved them to the end with the steadfast love of his disciples. We all have our fair weather friends. It's all right whenever we on that ship, whenever the nice wind, but wait till the storm comes. I was reading in this love story about a man had a son, had broke his heart, and it broke his mother's heart, been on drugs, and really threw his life away on drugs. There's so many times we have in the country that we're living in today, the drug epidemic we have. He had just about bankrupted his father, and he had tried to reclaim his son so many times by counseling and by prayer and everything that he could do as a father could do for the son, and going that second mile and the third mile and the sixth mile, and he could not reclaim his son. He kept on in his wayward lifestyle. He had a so-called fair weather friend, and that friend so many times gave the advice that, like I give a lot of times, if he was my son, I'll tell you what I'd do. And he told him what he'd do if he was his son. Some of my advice I give sometimes, and you give too. That was my child, I'll tell you what I'd do. The man said, "You know, I would do that same thing if he was your child. But he's my child." Be careful whenever we give our thoughts. If he was my son, love is based on his own. He said he loved him to the end. As we need to understand, we need to love to the end, even our children. Thank you, Lord, for the love that will not let me go. Thank you for the love that will not let me go. Romans 8:38. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power of things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." As I said, there's nothing can separate us. Nothing to make him love you more, and there's nothing to make him love you less. He loves you because he is God. Snapshot of serving love. Same verses. 4 and 5. He rised from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, girded himself. After he had poured water into the basin, he began to wash his disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel which was girded around him. Who was that crowd that he was washing that feet? Who was in that crowd? Judas, the one who would betray him. As Jesus has washed our feet, and we have betrayed him many times in our life. This betraying, as Judas cried, Judas kissed him on the cheek, and that must have been a burning fire from the pits of hell. As he thought about this, but you know what? Jesus Christ said, bless them that persecute you, do good to them that really use you. Definition of love, not giving what one deserves, giving what one needs. There was a preacher come back from a preaching service, a revival. Tired, hungry, went into a restaurant to eat. The waitress walked up to him and said, what you want? He said, well, I'm hungry, ma'am. I'd like to have something to eat. You want a menu? Yes, I'd like to have a menu. Well, what do you want now? She kept on with a very, very terrible attitude. Very grumpy. Unthoughtful. All they'd say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. After he got through eating his supper, he left a $20 tip on the table. She saw it before he got out of the restaurant. She went and tapped him. She said, sir, I was so rude to you. I don't deserve this. He said, well, I could see that you was going through a hard time. She said, I was. My baby was sick. My car broke down on the way to work, and I was late, and my boss man got all over me. He said, well, I thought you could use a little help. She said, I done all that to you, and you gave me $20. And he said that he led her to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave her something that she needed, not what she deserved. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. This serving love, I really do believe if we had the serving love that Jesus expects us to have at Pleasant Hill, that you wouldn't have to beg people to serve in the nursery. I don't believe you'd have to beg people to cook for funerals. I don't believe you'd have to beg people to do anything that needs to be done in the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Vacation Bible school's coming up, and I can almost hear someone say, well, if you can't find nobody else, not this year, I've done my part. I believe we had serving love that Jesus Christ expects us to have. Wouldn't have to beg people to fill the positions that need to be filled. 1 John 3:18. I just want to thank the Lord for the verses of scriptures. It's so great, so beautiful. My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deeds and in truth. And that is the truth. And then it says this love, a snapshot of the sanctifying love in John chapter 13. And I stopped at 5, going on through verse 6. Then comes to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know afterwards. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but yes, wash my hands and my head. Wash me all over. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not to serve to wash his feet, but is clean every which, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have give you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Now Jesus Christ, as turning to this sacrificial love and sanctifying love, in this print here we find out what he had done. Jesus turned now from the literally to the symbolic, not talking about literally dirt anymore, talking about spiritual defilement and also contamination. Peter, Lord, he said, you're not gonna wash my feet. And you know, Jesus Christ said, if I don't wash your feet, you're not gonna have no part with me. We're not gonna have fellowship. Do you understand this is a symbolic? Well, wash me all over. No, you don't need to be washed all over. Remember, salvation is washing of regeneration. And what Jesus Christ is saying, you've already been saved. But buddy, if you don't get your feet washed, you're not going to have fellowship with me. And that's exactly what we're here today. We need to have our feet washed with the spiritual word of God that we might have fellowship with him. You remember on Wednesday night, months ago, we went through the tabernacle and there was a come into the tabernacle. There was a brazing altar, the sacrifice first, that salvation. And then the priest had to go into the brazing laver where there was water before they went into the serve. They had to wash their hands and wash their feet because they got dirty. Well, you get dirty also. You are a priest of God if you're saved today. And your feet gets dirty. But you don't need to be saved again. You don't need a bath all over because of washing of regeneration took place one time. But in this dusty world, we get defiled by sin. And our feet need to be washed by the word of God. And I'm not talking about just our literally feet. And if we're not washed by the word of God, you can't have fellowship with Jesus. And that's the part today. You'll never have fellowship. The Bible says for one offering he had purified and perfected forever them that are sanctified. We come for daily cleansing, for feet washing. Now, some churches have what they call a ceremony of foot washing, an ordinance. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't do that because it's not in the epistles. It's in the stages of the Gospels. We take no doctrine from Baptists. We take no doctrine from the book of Acts or the four Gospels. That is not the norm for the church. The norm for the church is in the epistle stages from hereafter. It's all right if they want to do that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with washing feet literally. But Jesus Christ was not talking about washing feet literally. It's symbolic when he turned to the symbolic nature of what it's all about. Because he says, you know, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet because I know that you're going to betray me, but I'm going to forgive you. So I'm going to wash your feet. Jesus Christ, then after he went to that cross and that resurrections, we find out that no disciples gave up and they went back to the old way of life and went back to fishing. And then we find out in John chapter 21, 15, so when they had denied Jesus and when they had dined with him on that shore, after they had went back, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said to him again the second time, Simon, the son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, that knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Someone said the reason he asked him three times because Peter denied him three times. I don't know if that be true, but I know I have denied him more than three times. Now, number one, making this short, if Jesus Christ was here in flesh and blood, and he was walking up and down every one of these pews, would you allow Jesus Christ to wash your feet? Would you allow Jesus Christ to wash your feet? Peter, with great gratitude and love, began to tears run down his face. I want to ask you a second question. Would you wash Jesus Christ's feet? Would you wash Jesus Christ's feet? Jesus Christ said, as much as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. I want to ask you a question. Would you come and wash my feet? Would you come and wash my feet? Would you come and wash someone else's feet? Because what Jesus Christ said, if you wash in my feet, you're washing the feet of Jesus, because I'm part of him. As you do it the least of one of these, you do it unto me. And the washing of feet is showing our humbleness and our forgiveness as we forgive one another. He has forgiven me of my sins, and he has forgiven you. Ephesians 4 and 32. And you be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as for Christ's sake have forgiven you. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, Jesus Christ said in that John 13, 34, new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And by this whole community, all your family, your loved ones, your friends, by this all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. First John 3 and 14. This is an examination of church membership from salvation. If we know that we shall know that we have passed from death unto life, that means we know that we are saved. We was dead. Now we alive. It says that we know and shall know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abide in death. This separates the church members from the saved. There's a lot of church members throughout our country. They do not love the brethren. They are dead. If people do not love what Jesus Christ loved, the love of God is not in them. You may know this. A lot of people say they don't know where they saved or lost. God says you shall know, you will know, if you just read the Word of God. Are you saved this morning? You remember, have you accepted now God's acceptance of you? He accepts you just like you are. If you've never been saved, this morning is a time to be saved. God's accepted you right now. And he said, you know, come to me. Ray sung that song, Running. God's running to you right now. And you know what, in your pew, if you're here today and you're lost, you know what God's doing to you? He is running to you and he is bowing down before you and he's willing to wash your feet and want to forgive you. Will you allow Jesus Christ to wash your feet in forgiveness of your sins? Are you willing to be the person that God has called you to be and to be able to wash one another's feet? God's acceptance of me. Do you accept that God accepts you? Quit trying to do something different. Quit trying to be good and clean up your life that you might be acceptable and be as good as these people. Because you see, there's none of us good. And you'll never be as good as us. You'll be as bad as we are. But you'll never be as good because there's none of us good. No, not one. But you'll be just as bad. But it makes the difference is that faith that God has given you, if you're willing to allow him to wash your feet this morning, that you might accept God's acceptance of you. Nothing that you can do, but I accept it, God. We have a song of invitation at this time. It's going to be up to you to allow Jesus Christ to wash your feet. It's going to be up to you to make a move for Jesus Christ. You know, we have this serving love. You know what? Jesus Christ has called some of us in to some service here at this church. He's called you to make your calling and election sure. Whatever he has talked to you about, you know what? You need to do it. And you know, by doing that, it shows that you're willing for Jesus Christ to wash your feet and you to wash one another's feet. As we stand and sing the song that we're going to sing this hour. Amazing Grace.